Thank you, Pascal. Well, it's really an honor to be here to talk about our experience. I know that some of you probably feel the same way I do, that it's almost like it was a dream. Did that really happen? But it did. We are a state that does have a very geographically diverse population and a very geographically diverse delivery of public health services. We have 105 counties that are all autonomous. They receive some of their funding from the state public health department for individual programs, and each one of our counties are an individual VFC provider. So we had to take all of that into consideration when we were deciding what our vaccine delivery plan was going to be, what the accountability measures were going to be, and we also have long partnered with our Kansas Association of Local Health Departments, who is a representative group of each one of our counties, and work closely with a committee from them that gave us input about the kinds of things that they would like to see happen as we were developing our vaccine distribution plan. And we had just engaged in some extensive meetings and conversations in January and February of 2009 to update the KDHE pandemic influenza plan. So we thought we were pretty much ready to plug that baby in place and get going. Little did we know that the scenario would change as much as it did. Yesterday, Secretary Sebelius talked about two dates in late April that were about a week apart. And the first one was when the first cases of H1N1 were confirmed in both California and Texas. And then the second date was that date about a week later when she was confirmed as the Secretary of HHS. What she didn't talk about was in between those two dates, she allowed our KDHE staff to borrow her plane to fly a laboratory specimen, to CDC, to the CDC lab here in Atlanta. And Kansas became the third state in the nation with a confirmed case of H1N1. So at that time, the KDHE Bureau of Surveillance and Epidemiology became heavily involved with H1N1 case investigation, and the KDHE immunization program became immersed in planning for vaccine distribution, inventory management, and doses administered reporting. As I've already stated, Kansas is a decentralized public health system. So even though we have a state department of health that administers the various grant-funded programs from the CDC, we have local health departments that are actually charged with the administration of all of those programs locally. All of the counties, each one of the 105 counties, had plans in place and had practiced point of distribution exercises for differing scenarios. And the majority of the state's public health preparedness funding actually goes as a pass-through to the local health departments for the accomplishment of all those kinds of activities. In early summer, we realized that there was a little bit of a shift in the paradigm regarding the vaccine availability planning scenarios. We realized that shift had occurred from initially thinking that we'd have very small amounts of vaccine that would be delivered primarily through a public health delivery system, and that's what most of the POD exercises were based upon. That shift then moved to thinking that we were going to have very, very large amounts of vaccine that would require both a public and a private delivery system to accomplish vaccine delivery. So at that point, then we worked very closely with our local health departments to develop what the alternate plans could be for vaccine distribution and delivery. And so in addition to planning vaccine distribution, inventory management, and doses administered reporting, we also started planning for private provider enrollment, which would be different from VFC provider enrollment because we'd be expanding the reach of the providers that we'd be using based on the target populations. We created a web-based pre-registration system for our providers that was based on the Tennessee model, and we're very grateful for Kelly's innovation there to give us something to copy off of so we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. The local health departments were then charged with vetting all of the providers that had pre-registered, and they based that vetting on the types of providers that were registered, you know, with the populations that they served, as well as the number of doses that those providers anticipated that they would be giving. And then they, in turn, approved the provider agreements, and we had those actually in place by the middle of September, and we were ready to get started with vaccine administration. We really talked a lot at both the state and the local level about the best mechanism for vaccine allocation, vaccine distribution, since we have very big counties, very small counties, and what would be fair to everyone. And so the decision was made to do a population-based allocation of all vaccine to each one of the 105 counties. And initially, we made that allocation based on the 0 to 24-year-old population so that we could accommodate the additional doses that were needed in those counties that had secondary education institutions in them. Well, instead of those very, very large amounts of vaccine that would be allocated and it would require a public-private partnership, the first allocation that Kansas received on the last day of September amounted to 16,300 doses instead of the 1.2 million doses that we originally thought we might possibly get. So you take that 16,300 divided by 105 based on population, and it doesn't take very long to do the math, even in your head, and know that some counties wouldn't be getting very many doses. We communicated the allocations by brand, by vaccine presentation, once a week to the county health departments so that they would know what their vaccine cash would be for the subsequent week. They would receive the orders from the providers that they had approved within their county, and then they would decide based on who that provider served, the target population that they served, exactly how many doses they had to spare for any given provider type. So from that point on, then, the vaccine allocations were communicated to the counties once a week. And this, for us, created a problem because it resulted in a delay of vaccine distribution from the time that CDC communicated it to us daily to the time that the vaccine was made available for counties to order. As a result, the web-based system that was created by CDC that compared one state to another made us look like we were way behind the mark, that we weren't getting the vaccine out there as quickly as other states, and we, as a program, received some pressure for failure to produce. But that was quickly overcome because vaccine supplies increased and we were able to get the vaccine out there quickly. We were able to process every order that we received on the same day that we received it, and generally, most of the counties were able to submit their orders within 2 or 3 days from the time that they got their allocation. So once they knew how much they had, the vaccine went out fairly quickly. Also, we were able to have some counties, they would anticipate what their possible allocation might be, and they would pre-vet their orders so that they'd have orders ready to submit the day that they got the allocation. Some of the challenges that we had in our pro rata allocation was the fact that our vaccine amounts varied so widely based on what the state's population was. And to make that a little more clear, over 70% of our state's population is in the eastern half of the state. That encompasses the Wichita area and the Kansas City area, whereas only 8% of the state's population is in the western third of the state. For example, the northwest region of the state, for that 3% of the population that they had, they only had an allocation of 500 doses initially of the LAIV among all of the counties that were in that particular region. So the small counties then had to pool their vaccine resources so that they could meet that 100 dose minimum quantity. And I don't know how many of you know very much about Kansas, but that is where the Pony Express used to be. And so we developed a Pony Express system of vaccine delivery. When one county would order the 100 dose quantity, she would shuttle it to the next county, they'd take out their part, they would shuttle it to the next county until they reached the end of the Pony Express line. Another challenge that we experienced is that the counties had varying approaches to meeting their vaccine needs and of the target groups. And so there were some inconsistencies, just as obvious after listening to the presentations this week, that all of the 50 states have done things very differently that are in the continental U.S. There have been a lot of differences in the way our counties did things, too. Another challenge that was evident as far as the pro rata allocation of vaccine is the fact that there were a lot of differences in the uptake of vaccine. There may have been a county that didn't have very good provider support of vaccine administration, and so they weren't using all of the doses that they had allocated. So at that point, then, we asked permission for a county that was not using all of the doses that they had allocated so that we could redistribute those to other counties that had a more demonstrated need. The benefits of pro rata allocation, all of the state sections of the state had equal access to the vaccine. And so when we would receive a question or a concern from a citizen or a provider, it was easy to defend what our mechanism was. And the system was equitable, whether or not it was a rural or an urban county within the state. The local health department could also utilize their vaccine based on what their local needs and their delivery system resources were. We had some counties that didn't even have a private provider. We had many counties that didn't have a pharmacy. So the resources were so varied across the state that they needed to be able to have a lot of autonomy in what they were going to be doing. In short, The immunization program was in awe of the many different ways the counties were able to do things and what they were able to accomplish with the resources that they had. And then I'd also like to say that I am in awe of what the Kansas immunization program was able to accomplish as far as the team that actually did the work, because I'm just the voice for the team today, and they were actually the muscle. Thank you very much.